Ramsey TV.
This broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, may be the most spiritually deep broadcast I have possibly ever done. This is no joke. In order to do this, I may need to use the F word. I'm just warning you ahead of time. I'm not saying I will need to use it. I'm just feeling that I might need to use it. The F word is fuck. I mean, if you don't want to hear the word fuck, then you might want to log off right now. I really shouldn't use the word fuck because some people say, man, some of your most spiritual great videos I can't share with people. Why? Because of the F word. I said, you mean the word fuck? Stop it, Martin. Okay. Greetings. This is Martin Zender. Now, as you noticed, last night I posted video number one of the Missouri Conference. So that's going to be, it's going to be under MZTV. I'm just going to produce them, put them out as I edit them. And as you see, I'm really not editing them. But I do go through them and make sure everything's okay. Make sure I don't use the F word anymore, which I don't. It's very rare. I might not even do it. The word fuck might not even appear on this video. Might not even occur on this video whatsoever. But I'm just warning you because I think it might. Okay. This is a three-part video I got. I want to do this in 15 minutes, which has never been attempted on a topic like this. Never mind. And I don't care how messy it is. I'm not talking about my calendar. I know that's messy. I'm talking about how messy the presentation is. This story starts with my son. As you know, my son Paul, who I raised in the truth, I took him to conferences, read him the scriptures on my knee. I just talked to him about God his whole life. And he ended up, 4 years ago maybe, being captured. Literally captured by the Christian religion. And they flattered him. And they caused him to join their organization. And now he's becoming a leader in the cult of Christianity, with all its evil teachings. Now this bothered me at first, obviously. Because I wondered, he was starting to ask me a bunch of questions about what I believed. And I thought it was because he wanted to know details in his mind. No. It turns out that he was just wanting to find holes, find out where he could get away with believing the orthodox teachings. For instance, of the Trinity, free will, eternal torment. I mean, he believes the whole thing now, every single lie. Because he was captured. And his pastor, who's kind of like, well, he's a young, what I would call a snot-nosed kid. You know, they're basically telling him you shouldn't read your dad's writings. Your dad's a sinner. Your dad doesn't know what he's talking about. He's a nice guy. We're not saying your dad isn't a great guy, but, you know, you're going to be spiritually ruined if you listen to your dad. That's the lies they're telling him. So I fought this. Obviously, it didn't make me happy. I was upset about it, and I was kind of anguished over it. But then something happened and that totally gave me peace, totally made me just good with it. Oh, I should tell you that my son and I have a good relationship. We just don't talk about that generally. But we have a good relationship. And part of our good relationship, believe it or not, stems from what I'm about to tell you. Is one day I flew to Ohio. I was staying with my sister. This may be a year ago. I drove down to Delaware, Ohio, to visit my son, and it was going to be a big conversation. And so we drove to a park, and we sat on a park bench. And I tried to make him face what he was believing. I tried everything in my bag of tricks, and I have a giant bag of tricks, okay? That's just a figure of speech for scripture. I have lots of scripture. I have lots of truth, lots of logic, and he is totally, well, you're going to see. So here's how the thing ended. I said, Paul, from what you're telling me then, you believe that my parents, your grandparents, the people who loved you, doted upon you, my mother being a Catholic, my father being ambivalent about spiritual things, you're telling me that these people are now being tortured in hell. Right now, as we speak, as we sit on this park bench in Delaware, Ohio, my parents, your grandparents, are now being tortured in flames by the God you serve, and they will be there forever. And he looked at me and he said, yeah, that's what I believe. That is when, strangely enough, that is when I became at peace with the whole thing. The whole thing then, it just, because then I knew that he was completely gone. It was almost like I wanted to do this. Paul, I know you're in there. Paul, this is your dad speaking. I know you're in there. But he had such a cold faith. And this was not him. This was not him speaking, okay? It was something else, very diabolical that had overtaken him, that he was able to say with such nonchalance, no emotion, that it was fine with him, absolutely fine, that the God he served was torturing his grandparents. I mean, it was just so stupendously complete, his brainwashing, that I could relax. It's like this, it's absolutely freaking hopeless. This thing has got him, and there's nothing I can do, because I've tried for a year, for 2 years, bring him scripture, talk to him, and I saw the budding, the coming to fruition of the evil of Christianity. And it's like, it can't do any more to him. The Christian religion can't do any more damage to him than this. And he's done. He's done. His goose is cooked in this eon. So then I knew this thing was profoundly, I mean, I always knew this, but it's profoundly, ultimately of God. And it's a Saul the Pharisee type thing. It's rabid unbelief, rabid mistakes, rabid demonism operating in. And I thought, oh, fuck it. Fuck it. Fuck it. That's it. Let's go to lunch. Bum, bum, bum. It was like something washed over me. It's like, it was total. I guess that's why. There was no more thing for me to do. It was total. It's like, Paul. No, it was total. So I just relaxed after that. And I've been relaxed ever since. Don't worry about it. I don't worry about it. Strange, huh? So then, I mean, I've known this, the law of leprosy in Leviticus. Now listen to this. This sounds crazy. When I saw this years ago, I could hardly believe it. This is Leviticus chapter 13. You're wondering, what does the law of leprosy in Leviticus chapter 13 have to do with what you just told us? Well, where do you see what it has to do with 2 Corinthians 5 and Christ becoming sin for our sake? Leviticus 13, verse 9. In case the contagion of a leprous disease comes to be in a human, then the matter will be brought before the priest. The priest will examine. And if a white nodule is in the skin and it has turned the hair white, and wild living flesh is alive in the nodule, it is a chronic leprous disease in the skin of his flesh, then the priest will pronounce him unclean. He shall not enclose him, for he is unclean. Yet, if the leprous disease should bud, yea, bud in the skin, so that the leprous disease covers all the skin of the contagious person, from his head to his feet, to all appearances in the eyes of the priest, then the priest will examine. And if the leprous disease covers all his flesh, he will pronounce the contagion clean. All right. Still with me? Do you understand this? If the frickin' leprosy is in the skin, and it is wild living flesh. I'm quoting the scripture, wild living flesh. This is from the concordant version of the Old Testament. It's alive in the nodule. Then it's a chronic leprous disease. That person is unclean, obviously. But now this, if the leprous disease is bud, has bud, and it covers the person now from head to his feet. When I first saw this, I thought it was a misprint. Then the priest will examine, and if the leprous disease covers all his flesh, he is pronounced clean. Why is it? Because you've seen the limit of what the contagion can do. There's no more room for it to grow. When it was alive and crawling and creeping, then the guy's unclean. But when it's covered the entire body from head to toe, and it's totally come to fruition, it's not alive anymore because it's done all the damage it can do. That son of a bitch is clean. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For the one, verse 21, for the one not knowing sin, he makes to be sin for our sakes, that we may be becoming God's righteousness in him. The one not knowing sin becomes sin. The Concordant Version has sin offering, but the word offering is in light face type. He became sin. Sin went crawling all over him. And death came crawling all over him. But this is what happened on the cross. Sin and death exhausted itself on him. It has no more power because it threw everything it had, sin and death, threw everything they had at Jesus Christ on the cross. And because of that, it's not alive anymore. It's not crawling anymore. It's not active anymore. Because it exhausted itself. Every single arrow in the quiver went against Jesus Christ. Not on us. It said, this is it. This is the man. Let's go after him. To hell with everybody else. And here it came. And it covered him. It covered him. And this is what happened. As the whole of sin and death was clinging to him, he entered the death state and he took it all with him. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead without it. Without it. That's why it's now clean. That's why it can't do anything else to you. It can't damage you anymore, sin and death. I mean, yeah, you could die, but death cannot hold you. Sin cannot condemn you because it stupidly and foolishly exhausted itself on the one man who was able to defeat it. If sin and death had been smart, it would have exhausted itself on some inconsequential numbnuts. But no, it exalted itself because evil always overplays its hand. Satan exhausted himself on Christ. Oopsie! He takes everything you have and he conquers it. He conquers you, Satan. You have nothing left. Nothing left. That's why we're free. That's why we're not under any condemnation or under any guilt. The evil of Christianity had totally taken over my son. The fact that he could talk about the torture of his grandparents, my parents, with a straight face, no emotion whatsoever. Covered. No more threat, actually, because it's complete. So that relieved me. I mean, I should have been relieved the whole time, but that was like, this thing's over. But he's still covered by 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is just a temporary condition for my son, but it reminded me, I said, why am I at peace with this thing? It's because the contagion of Christianity had covered him, and it wasn't alive anymore. It couldn't do anything else. How the hell could it do anything worse than that? Can't. It goes back to the law of leprosy. When it covers, when it's not growing anymore, because it's done everything it can do, fuck it. You're clean. Fuck it. I can live with your Christianity cult brainwashing bullshit. I can live with it. I guess it's done. And because of Jesus Christ taking every ounce of energy and evil desire that Satan has with sin and death and taking it to the grave. That's why we are clean. We are free. We are relieved of the burden of work, the burden of guilt, the burden of worry.